This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Mala LaGioia is an extraordinary young woman who helped establish a free medical clinic and orphanage in her impoverished home province of Farah and a constitutional assembly in Kabul, Afghanistan. She became the youngest person elected to Afghanistan's new parliament, but in 2007 was suspended for her persistent criticism of the warlords, drug barons, and their cronies. She has survived 4 assassination attempts and now sleeps only in safe houses, accompanied at all times by armed guards. Malalai takes us inside her important and insufficiently understood country, explaining the desperate day-to-day situations its remarkable people face at every turn, and recounts some of the many acts of rebellion that are helping to change it. A controversial political figure in one of the most dangerous places on earth, Mala LaGioia is a woman of tremendous grit and determination, a shero in the struggle for self-determination, for peace and justice. And now Mimi's interview with Mala LaGioia.
Why don't we begin by discussing the book that you wrote and what it stands for, the ideas and thoughts that are contained within the book.
I'm a woman rights, human rights, anti-war activist in Afghanistan, living underground. I wrote a book. The name of this book is A Woman Among Warlords. I shared my story and experience as a war generation. This book is about the history of Afghanistan, the 3 decades of the war. I tear the mask of the warlords and these drug lords. Tell the truth, because still the truth is the first casualty in my country. Also, this book talk about occupation and disgusting war in Afghanistan of U.S. and NATO. It is common that people who got fame and some writers only write to talk only about Taliban, but I tried my best in this book talk about the warlords too, who are totally same like Taliban, only physically changed. This book hope will open the eyes and mind of justice-loving people around the board and bring the message of my people to them.
Even with the prominence of the book, you are in such a state of danger that you still must live underground. What is that like for you as a young woman?
Since I stand up against these warlords and these drug lords, these terrorists and puppet mafia regime, I expose their brutalities, crimes, and also the war crime of the warmongers in Afghanistan, the occupiers, US and NATO. My life fall at risk after my speech in Lojirga 2003 that I exposed the mask of the warlords to the people around the world, not only to my people in Afghanistan. I received death threats. These death threats continues, especially when I wrote the book. I received more death threats because in this book, their tear expose more and tell the truth. That's why they are against me, as I do not sit silent, and especially I'm woman, those who are in power, misogynist as well. 7 assassination attempts these terrorists did against me. The last assassination attempts was last year, that my office in Farah province in the west part of Afghanistan has been attacked, and 2 of my bodyguard brutally has been injured. I'm still receiving death threats. They're moving from one place to another place. I cannot have office, but underground, close contact with my people I have from different parts of Afghanistan. They are coming, sharing their ideas, asking for support, announce their solidarity. And I'm trying to organize them like network. I'm working that group of these members of defense committee getting more and more. I voluntarily, most of them are youths who support me and they are active. For security reasons, I have to be underground, and these terrorists create more obstacles and risks, not only for me, for other Democrat activists also in Afghanistan, men and women, that they are active, risking their life to struggle against these terrorists, against occupation.
You are quite young to have such sophisticated and prominent ideas that put you personally in such great jeopardy. How did you develop your family that gave you what are essentially secularist ideas and such prominent ideas about human rights, the human rights of women, and prompted you to take such an aggressive stance relative to a society that is so limited in what it allows people to say and what it allows women to say.
I was lucky that, like some other Afghan, that I was in good hands. It's true that I'm also one of the worst generation. We saw nothing in our whole life except of this disgusting war. It still continues. I was just 4 days old, baby Russia occupied, and then warlord came in power, the civil war, then terrorist Taliban, like the warlord, came in power. Then after 9/11, back these warlord with mask of democracy, they come in power, imposed on Afghan. It's still war is going on there in occupation remain. I learned a lot from the history of my country. As I said, I was in a good hands, as my father was a Democrat person and my teachers was Democrats. And always when I had questions, very kindly, they opened my eyes and helped me. Also, I read books, not only history of Afghanistan, about other countries, heroes and heroines of the world and their braveries. And especially I learned that no nation can donate liberation to another nation. We have to do a struggle, rise, try our best to be united, to struggle, to achieve our rights, to know our own identity. Fortunately, women, children, these oppressed nation, most of them support people like me. Because when you knock every Afghan house, they lost some of their dear ones. They share their story with you. One of these terrorists who are in power, or their bloody parties, committed these crimes. They experienced occupation. So they are totally agree with me, especially women who are still the most victims. Me and the other activists like me, we are struggling there. That's a hope, positive point for the future. That's why I don't want to be silent. As always, I say to my enemies that I don't fear death. I fear political silence against injustice.
What is the agenda for awakening, developing a greater sense of human rights for women and for yourself to be able to live openly and freely and speak as you would?
I believe education is a big power. If we try to empower these women and men and women, most of them with the power of education, first they know their own identity, their responsibility. They are getting soon unite together to do a struggle and rise against these dictators and these warmongers and occupation. As it's a key against occupation, against fundamentalism, toward emancipation. Also, I'm trying to lead the people to the right direction, that do not be sometimes disappointed or even deceived by beautiful banners of these terrorists, sometimes trying to deceive them. And they are coming to me, they are groups of people discussing, and most of them are youths, and they share their ideas, asking my opinion, and announce their support. These are things that what we are doing there, and active there, working for this cause, especially this awful population. If they know their right, they know their identity, they themselves will be organized and stand up and do a struggle. Fortunately, the woman of Afghanistan is not the woman of 20, 30 years ago. We live in the century of 21st, in the century of internet and Twitter and Facebook. Unfortunately, my people don't have, most of them, access to this golden tool. And because of the economic problem that they have, or lack of the education, different reasons. And at least in these countries, those who have, they should join their hands with them, especially with the youths who are the future of Afghanistan, that together to bring positive changes.
Let me ask you about the occupation. Here, there certainly was the constant mythology raised that the occupation and the intervention to begin with in Afghanistan had some relationship to consideration for human rights for women. How would you characterize the American occupation, the intervention, the war of Afghanistan by America. How did that affect women in any way?
The catastrophic situation of women was a good excuse for US and NATO to occupy our country. But unfortunately, they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire, replaced terrorist misogynist Taliban with the misogynist terrorist warlords. Photocopy of the Taliban with mask of democracy imposed on Afghan people. That's why it's still the women of Afghanistan are the most victims. And they're like rapes, acid attacks, burning the girls' school through acid on the face of the girls while going to school, burning their schools, and cut the nose and ears of the women, threw hot waters on them. Even just recently, last month, 4-year-old baby in Herat province, she has been kidnapped and raped and then martyred. As I'm following now the case of 16-year-old Shekila, she has been raped and then martyred by Kalashnikov, by a member of the provincial council, Wahidi Beheshti in Bamyan province, and his brother Fakuri Beheshti and other warlords, a group of them in the parliament together, tried to show this case like self-suicide. She eliminated herself, and this fundamentalist mafia court also tried to end this case in the favor of these rapists, these warlords. And the family, very poor family, receiving death threats, where the document of the doctor shows that she has been raped, the dead bodies did when they did check, and also shoot it on her from the back. With many proofs like this and people ready to, as witness, they say that she has been martyred. But these terrorist warlord misogynists are in power. I'm following this kind of cases. And about negative, a lot that mainstream media never tell the truth. Sometimes a small part of their crimes, sometimes they expose, mainly trying to put dust in the eyes of the people around the world, as war of Afghanistan, not only military war, it's propaganda war too. But a few positive changes they brought, especially in Kabul, just deceive people around the world that they are there to build schools or clinic or hospital, or we are there to bring security. Even in the heart of Kabul, we don't have security. Taliban even persecute women, same like Taliban time, whether to bring them at least to this non-democratic or corrupt mafia court that we have. A few kilometers away from Kabul, just a few months ago, Najiba, she has been prosecuted, accused to adultery and killed, shooted on her body many times and with countless palace in public. In many examples like this, a young teacher, one of my strong supporters, her name was Farida, she in Farah province, has been shooted on her head by Taliban. Her sin was because she was teacher. In many examples like this, that the example of their brutalities and the result consequences of this war crime and occupation in Afghanistan is a lot. They have changed Afghanistan to the center of the drug. Drug even more dangerous than Al-Qaeda in terrorism, I believe. More than war, destroy and spies the life of people. There is a report around 2 million Afghan addicted. Most of them are women and children. Now there is a report Afghanistan is the second most corrupt country in the world. Also, they have changed Afghanistan to their laboratory. They experienced the dangerous weapons there, even used white phosphorus cluster bomb. The consequences of this criminal war of 12 years of occupation in Afghanistan is a lot. That much people fed up that nowadays says we don't expect anything good from you. Just stop bombing even our wedding parties. Stop doing massacres. 16 civilians in Kandahar, the American soldier who martyred, they want to prosecute that soldier, want to put all these crimes on the shoulder of the just one or two soldiers. It's not enough, and it's not good to do like this. Those who are in power should be questioned. As long as the occupation remains there, as now they are going to legalize their military bases, expenses their military bases day by day, this war crime will continue more, as this massacre was not the first, unfortunately will not be the last. In a country which has no independence, talking about democracy, women rights, human rights is just a painful joke.
How do you continue your process of organizing women to live more democratically and to really begin to implement a different regime to benefit people such as women so they can take up the demands and the rule of society.
They are active, but we're facing with different kind of obstacles, unfortunately. Now even in white terrorists, Taliban also publicly, formally come in power to make complete the circle of warlordism, draglordism, terrorism, to make more powerful their puppet regime under the name of National Peace Reconciliation, negotiate with the Taliban. The result of this so-called peace is more dangerous than the war, make unite the enemies of Afghan, especially women.
So that you see this effort to bring Taliban, legitimize them in the government,
yeah,
as completely dangerous, ultimately legitimizing their ideology of oppression.
Sometimes we can make united front, but with not terrorists. To go with one terrorist to fight against another terrorist make no sense. This is the point you were asking. Anti-imperialist banners of these Taliban is just empty banners. It's like a family fighting between warlord Taliban and their godfather, like US and NATO. It is 12 years of occupation, mainly indirectly they supported Taliban. This 12 years Taliban already was in power. Member of the parliament was Talib Mullah Abdul Salam Rakati. A member of the Senate was Talib Mullah Arsalan Rahmani. Foreign Minister of Taliban Mullah Mutawakkil had a good life in the safest place of Kabul. And this list can be prolonged that Taliban already they were in power. Indirectly, they had support of this their godfather. Now, formally, they invite them to join this puppet corrupt mafia regime under the name of peace reconciliation. My people want justice. Peace without justice is meaningless. The first demand of the people is the prosecution, execution of these terrorists who killed their dear ones. Still, they are doing suicide attacks and killing innocent Afghans, most of them women and children. So that's why I believe the result of this peace is more dangerous than this war. Make unite these enemies, more wolves will be free against people, especially women. They push Afghanistan more toward Stone Ages by support of these terrorists. Warlords, now Taliban as well, invite them. As recently, 500 innocent or Democrat intellectuals has been massacred, killed in the Russia time in the 70s. Puppet of Russia killed them because they were not puppet and they were Democrat and freedom-loving persons. The list of the 500 by Attorney General of Holland has been released recently. People come in demonstration with the photo of their brother, husband, or members of their family. They were demanding for justice. They were asking for public prosecution. The main wish of these Afghans is justice, but U.S. don't take care of the wishes of these Afghans as they are making billions of dollars through opium industry, dirty business of opium there. And also they are looting our rich resource that we have. And catastrophic situation is still a very good excuse for justification of their occupation criminal war. Now they are going to make legalize their military bases. From one hand, they talk about withdraw of the troops as people of the West also. It become like an open secret for them, put pressure on their regime that stop the sending war. So to deceive their own people, few thousands of the troops will withdraw, but their puppet regime remain also. They say civil war will happen if we leave. While the civil war is going on there, and behind of this propaganda of the civil war is again the hand of the U.S. as they make afraid the people to accept military bases to be legalized there, otherwise civil war will happen. While today itself is like civil war, the current civil war that they are talking will not be dangerous than this one. That's why my people want them as soon as possible they should leave Afghanistan. Because their presence is making much harder our struggle for peace, justice, and democracy by empowering these reactionary terrorist warlords and Taliban.
And when you return, You certainly now have a dangerous prominence pursuant to your world-acclaimed book. What do you continue to see your role as?
A country should be built by their own people, as I never be tired to tell this. We have a famous saying, the nation who liberate themselves can be free, but the nation who pose themselves as liberators to others will lead them into slavery. And at least we experience in the history of Afghanistan in the past, Russia occupied, faced with the resistance of people, British three times, faced with resistance of Afghan people. And now, as much as fascism of the U.S. occupiers and NATO rise, more people stand up against them. And we have this proudful history that never accept occupation. So people like me who are active, they are facing with more and more day by day obstacles. But we are active. If we want that to achieve these, open the eyes of people, try to make them unite. As people are asking even to build a party to come together, I didn't want to be a symbolic party. I didn't want that my supporter, because of that party, to put more their life in danger. So underground, like a network, we are active, making unite the people, raising political awareness, discussing with each other, to do something in the future, more organized, with more achievements. And I'm happy that day by day I see huge difference between me and the enemies that I have from them. Because more the threats I'm receiving, I feel how much more I'm close to these innocent suffer people of my country.
What can we do to show our commitment, our assistance?
We need their support. Here, when you organize demonstration, you should try to open the eyes of more justice-loving people, follow the issues of countries like Afghanistan and other war-torn countries, especially now that USA is expanding this war in Libya, what they did in Syria, now going to occupy and install their own puppets, remove dictator Bashar al-Assad from power, what they did in Iraq, change Iraq to the ashes, what they are doing with drone attacks in Pakistan, and what's going on in Palestine is just heart-wrenching, support Zionist regime of Israel. You should stand up more and more, unite against the wrong politicians and warmongers of your government. Write letters, you have this golden Twitter, Facebook, internet, this social network in your hands. You can do campaign through these sources. Also, you can write books. You can give contact of Democrat activists in Afghanistan to the Democrat journalists here who tell the truth, as mainstream media still betray the truth, put dust in the eyes of justice-loving people here. And we really need your support. You should support especially education project in Afghanistan, especially women, the soft of population, must know their own identity when they become educated. You should support the project of some Democrat organization. While most of NGOs corrupt, but some of them are honestly working, like OPAC, like HACA, like EFSICO. You can support Democrat Party like Solidarity Party of Afghanistan, running by youths, and they are against occupation, against fundamentalism, and they are very brave and their life at risk. You should support them, encourage them more. Support some organization like RAWA, that running by women, a secular party. Through them, you can support our people, and we should be united. Of course, as an independent Democrat activist, I also need your support. To my supporter, who are active there, and through them, my people.
When you go back, if there's something special that furthers your work, what would it be? What should we do specific to your work?
I'm raising the voice of the voiceless people, especially these victim families. I really need that you should hear their voice, should organize that some, like, I don't know how to link with them through doing interview with them or talk with them, encourage them morally and financially. They need your support. When you see the Shekila case now I'm following, very poor family received the threats. They even don't have enough money that to have a lawyer to defend them. From one side, debt threats, from another side, economic problem they have. So please help such kind of cases, such kind of families, victim families, raise their voice to the world internationally. Especially my message is try to educationally support them as they need to go to school, to literacy courses.
And what percentage of girls, of women, are able to accomplish an education in Afghanistan?
Yeah, the mainstream media says that 6 million girls go to school. It's a big lie. Many doors of the schools now close down and closing more for security reasons. And also system is corrupt, and the money under the name of education goes to the pocket of these warlords who are in power. But there are some democratic organizations and NGOs, as I mentioned earlier, their name. They are honestly working, and they support people like me. I request you to support the education project of OPAC, Organization of Promoting Afghan Women Capabilities. I was activist of this NGO since Taliban time. We had education project and health project. And these families who came to me, for example, the girls can't go to school after when they raped. Their life also at risk when they stand up against the warlord who raped them. It's important for me they should continue the education. I do not let them to stop. Then they go to some of the education project, this Democrat NGO I mentioned, like OPAC, like HACAL, FCCO, that they have, or orphanage, or literacy classes they have. I send them there. I do not have like an NGO or money that my supporter raise money for my bodyguard. My bodyguard itself is a big project on my shoulder, and they put their life at risk, and I have to pay all the costs. So if supporter internationally left me alone, it was impossible. I mean, Democrat people around the world, anti-war organization, justice-loving people. We need such kind of support that to be alive and empower our people educationally to do struggle.
You are charming, you are bright, you really touch us and inspire us, and you have our support. Thank you so much, and we will continue to respond with support for the very heroic and just essential work that you're doing for freedom-loving people, for women, for Afghan women.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.